Are you ready to go from burned out to blissed out? I'm Rebecca Whitman. I will share with you my 7 pillars of abundance and interview experts that will help you get all 7 areas of your life in alignment so that you can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's get into the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Thank you for your loyalty over these last 4 years. It has been an amazing journey helping people all over the world realize that they can be successful and happy and in love without exhausting and draining themselves. And we have great speakers like the one we have today, Wendy Collier, to explain incredible ways to feel abundant, excited, fueled by life. In fact, she's going to talk about her amazing business, How to Find Your Soul Fuel. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thanks, Rebecca. It's great to be with you today.
Awesome. Well, let me tell my listeners a little bit about your incredible background. So Wendy Collier is a seasoned coach guiding ambitious, purpose-driven leaders to embrace their soul fuel. We'll go into what that is later. I'm so excited to unpack it. While mastering messaging, marketing, enrollment, and mindset for their business success. She has over a decade of experience helping women to monetize their passion and transform their lives and their communities. Wendy has a psychology and communications degree. She has a certification from Franklin Covey Leadership School. She has an advanced ICF coaching certificate and 21 years as an award-winning senior level marketing experience executive with Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies. She is the host of the Soul Fuel podcast, and she helps her clients clarify their purpose, their audience, and their niche in her Soul Fuel coaching program. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you. Thanks, Rebecca.
It's so great. Yeah, it's so great to have you here. I was so honored to be a part of your summit about a year and a half ago, and we've been talking about this for so long, and now it's finally happening, and I cannot wait to learn more about your story. So how did you become a coach? How did you go from being in the corporate space, working for Fortune 500 companies, to becoming this master coach?
Oh my, always a good story. And there's many different ways to share it. So, I mean, it's not, you know, the newest story in the world these days. A lot of us have escaped the corporate life and become entrepreneurs. I was naturally an entrepreneur starting as a child, and was definitely feeling those nudges within myself during my corporate career. I knew that I needed to do something more meaningful than help the Silicon Valley get richer. And although it did teach me a lot of business and marketing skills, there was just an emptiness inside because I was helping to market hardware and software products, consumer products, that kind of thing. And with the background that I have and the upbringing and kind of the experiences I had gone through, I just knew I had more to contribute to make a difference in people's lives. So I wasn't interested in just a business and being an entrepreneur. I was interested in following my calling, what I call my soul fuel. So for me, it needed to be something that would free myself in my life internally, externally, and help to facilitate the freedom of other people. And so when I found coaching, and this industry was new at the time that I found it, it really lit me up because I originally was planning to be a therapist, which is a whole different, you know, way of approaching challenges in life. And when coaching came along, it really intrigued me because it's very future focused as opposed to the past. So for me, that was significant in helping people get movement forward and really get that action oriented momentum going, while at the same time having meaningful, you know, work and helping people to free themselves from jobs or experiences or even relationships that were not in alignment with who they truly are, not in alignment with who they are spiritually or from a professional standpoint either. So Soul Fuel was birthed through this need for myself and my friends and my colleagues, and helping them to figure out what they're really meant to do. And the word life purpose, which we've all heard of, it just didn't really do it for me. It's just kind of, I don't know, we needed something more dynamic. We needed another way to talk about it. I really believe that soul fuel is, you know, your spiritual calling. And so therefore it's coming from something much greater than us. And there's a lot of fuel in that. There's a lot of spiritual nourishment and sustenance and fulfillment and fuel in that, that we can use to really express ourselves fully in the world.
So what is the difference between your dharma, which is kind of like what you're meant to be on this earth to do, and your soul fuel? Or is it the same thing?
I mean, you could call it kind of the same thing. I talk about soul fuel in different contexts. So there's soul fuel in the sense of knowing what you're meant to do in life, the essence of who you are, whether you have a business or not.
Yes. So
it's not necessarily tied to business, although I do work with entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in the making. So someone could know and discover their soul fuel without needing or wanting a business, just to know what you're here to do throughout all the areas of your life. As you go through, you know, the different life stages that you have throughout your life, it doesn't change. It's really very quite fixed, but it has different expressions. So it can express itself in different ways in your personal life, as in your differently than your professional life. I also talk about it. I think a little bit distinction between that, this, and dharma would be that I talk about it as kind of a dynamic, ongoing energy in your life that's hard to explain. It's kind of a magic that comes in. You end up with like a relationship with your soul fuel. It's kind of this interesting thing, that you can then apply to your business, apply to your profession, and look at it through that lens at all times. So looking at something as soul fueled is different than dharma, you know?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what are some poignant questions that our listeners might ask themselves to find their soul fuel? Maybe they're just driving or on a treadmill, or maybe they are taking notes or want to come back to this and write this down because she's going to drop some serious jewels. Like, what are some poignant questions they can ask themselves?
One really big question to consider is, when you look at your life experiences, including your professional experiences, but mostly personal, although everything is personal, right? Whatever happens in your job, I mean, there's personal things happening in your work as well. What are the common themes and threads, like the common lessons that you feel like, I thought I learned that thing, a personal life lesson, but it keeps coming up? Or it kept coming up repeatedly until you finally had a breakthrough and that was resolved for yourself. What is that? What is that theme? And those lessons, I believe, were given the lessons we're meant to teach. Like, there's a reason we have repetitive experiences in our life. And the characters may change, the people may change, the jobs may change, the marriages might change, the partners might change. And we think we're changing and our life is changing, but the pattern repeats itself. Regardless of external circumstances changing. We may move, we may change jobs, think, oh, this is what I need to do. But the pattern keeps repeating. That is something to watch out for. So this could be something that you're in the midst of right now, or it could be something that when you look back, you say, oh yeah, that was going on until I was 40 years old. And then finally I saw it and I had a breakthrough and I shifted gears completely and got to the root of the issue. That points to, it can illuminate what your soul fuel could be. So your soul fuel is illuminated through those experiences. It's revealed through those patterns, consistent patterns and themes that keep coming up recurringly.
I like that because lessons are repeated until they're learned. But like for me, I have had lessons in different areas of life. I had the lesson of getting my heart broken by emotionally unavailable men and narcissists, and now I'm with my soulmate. I had the lesson of no matter how hard I worked out, I couldn't lose those last 10 pounds. And then I finally figured out how to do it. So I've had different lessons, also lessons of, you know, trying businesses and failing them and trying again. So I feel like I have had repeated lessons in health and finance and in love. So how would I narrow that down to figure out my soul fuel? Are there other questions to ask yourself? I'm sure you have
I have more questions than you can possibly know what to do with. I created this process called Soul Fuel Discovery.
Nice. And
I did it to solve this problem, of what am I meant to do? How do I get clarity when there are lots of things like this, common patterns and themes, or lots of different ideas you might have for what you're meant to do? And how do you narrow that down? How do you know for sure? So that's part of the Soul Fuel Discovery process. It is the complete process, which is 13 steps, basically. And the first 1 through 8 are your soul fuel, just knowing your soul fuel and what your declaration is, regardless of whether you're a business owner or you're not. And then 9 through 13 are really the monetization of it. And that's when we really hone in on what you're asking, Rebecca, which is, yeah, out of all these lessons, like, how do I know which one I should, if I want to have a business, whether it's a side gig or a full-time thing or a new income stream, how do I know which one I should hone in on? Like, what's my real, like, genius superpower? So I do have a process to figure that out. And it ultimately comes down to, there's lots of things that you're really good at, right? All of us are good at a lot of things, very talented. There's so many different paths you can take, but not all those paths are the most life-giving, fueling paths for you. So you can be really good at something. You could be great at something. You can get lots of accolades, you know, that, yes, you're so good at that. Go you. And you may hate it. You may come home at the end of the day and be exhausted. You might think to yourself, gosh, you know, everyone says I'm great at this, but why do I feel empty inside? Like, something's missing. I feel a misalignment. Why is that? There's a reason for that. I truly believe, and it's been proven in the last 11 years I've been doing this, that we are each designed to work in a way that is perfectly aligned to our design, spiritually our design, and also our skill sets. And we get to make money doing what we're genuinely meant to do. And there is a way to know what that is. And it really is looking at kind of the convergence, for lack of a better term, of like, what lights you up? What does the world need? And where you lose track of time. And there's this element of kind of the perfect storm in the best of ways, where just all the cylinders are firing. I know when I figured it out for myself, there was a feeling of, oh my gosh, everything makes sense now. All these experiences I've been through that at the time seemed so challenging and I didn't understand why they were happening. It all makes sense. And it's bringing together all your skills along with your experiences and the wisdom from that into something very cohesive and focused for you.
That's amazing. And how do you feel now that you know your soul fuel? Do you still get tired? Do you still burn out? Or is it just like this endless well of energy because you're in your soul fuel?
Yeah, I can honestly say I had one burnout. And that was the first year of my business. So I've been in business 11 years, this business 11 years. I had a business prior to this, which was marketing consulting. So this business, I did have a burnout that first year because I just took my corporate adrenaline junkie habits into my business. And I learned that lesson very early on, thankfully. I also wasn't fully aligned to my soul field at the time. I was partially aligned to it, but I wasn't fully, because you can't be fully aligned to your soul field and have burnout. Just the fact that someone is in burnout or in overwhelm means they're not aligned to their soul fuel in every way. So that was the signal for me. And so then I clicked into that embodiment of my soul fuel in year 2 and then ever since. So I have not experienced burnout. I have not experienced, I wouldn't say, like, I have experienced time seasons in my business where it's like everything is, it's full. I would call it full. Mm-hmm. I don't use the word overwhelm, because overwhelm means I'm out of control. I have no control. And I don't believe that. I'm choosing. We are each choosing at every moment what we're doing with our time. So I won't allow myself to fall victim to the overwhelm story, which just is not true. Because we get to say no. We can say no. We can say yes. We can say yes to the things that only align with our soul fuel in every way, personally and otherwise. So, energy-wise, I do have very, very good energy because I take excellent care of myself. So I don't think you can have you know, again, being aligned to your soul field means it's so all encompassing. It's not, that's why I think Dharma is only, it's not the same. Just by virtue of the name of it, like you to be fueled, what do you need? You know, you need physical nourishment, you need mental, spiritual, emotional, you know, financial nourishment, all of it to be really genuinely fueled and lit up and alive. And I make sure that I'm doing that, which is, you talk about balance. That's exactly what it is.
So how do you practice time management? Because you say you never get burned out, you take great care of yourself. Like, what does that look like in your life? Like, when do you work? When do you play? When do you rest? When do you do self-care?
So that I would say is seasonal. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, I mean, I definitely have certain days set aside for certain activities in my business. Mm-hmm. So for example, I see clients Tuesdays and Thursdays only, one-on-ones. Tuesdays and Thursdays, the first 3 weeks of every month only. And that last week of every month, I have no calls. I don't set up calls with clients and I don't lead trainings. So I'm not on for my clients that last week of every month, which allows
you have a whole week just to like decompress and
every month.
Do you want to know my biggest and best beauty secret? It is liquid collagen. I started drinking liquid collagen 3.5 years ago and I am totally obsessed. I have never looked younger, fitter, leaner, stronger. My skin is glowing. My hair is thick and shiny. Eyebrows, eyelashes, nails, they're all growing and I feel like I'm aging backwards. If you really want to know a huge hack to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant, you got to try this collagen. It is amazing. If you go to the show notes, you will get a $10 off coupon. If you buy 2 bottles, it's $25 off. And there's 2 versions. There's one for anti-aging and overall health. And there's another formula for fat loss. Both formulas are amazing. They taste great. And it's so easy to take. You just take a spoonful in the morning and a spoonful at night and just add it to your regimen. This stuff is off the charts. So make sure you go to the link in the show notes and grab yourself a couple bottles and tell me how much you love aging backwards. Thanks for watching the show and we'll be back to our regular content now.
And what do you do during that week? Are you still like answering emails, doing your social, or are you just totally taking that week off from everything?
I don't take sometimes I take the week off and it's a travel week or I go on vacation, you know, vacation, whatever that, I mean, as an entrepreneur, you can decide whatever, you know, you want to do. So I might travel during that week. It gives the flexibility for that. More often than not, I am working, but it's in a different capacity. I'm not on, you know, with my clients. So I have Voxer support for my private clients. So I will touch base with them on Voxer. And then Wednesdays, the first 3 weeks of every month is when I'm training. I'm doing group calls, group coaching. I just recently decided this, I think it was last week, actually. I'm going down to a 4-day work week. So I'm not working Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's that. I always incorporate exercise. I mean, that's part of my lifestyle. I do it like people brush their teeth. I work out. I go to the gym. I lift weights. I do yoga. I do cycling. I mountain bike ride. I do yoga. Did I say yoga? Hiking, lots and lots of hiking, lots of walking, lots of hydration, lots of plants and fruits and seafood and take care of myself. Sleep.
Well, you look great.
Oh, thank
you. It's all working. What is your morning practice? Like what does that look like? What do you do when you wake up?
Well, first thing, I almost never set an alarm. So I let my body sleep until it doesn't need sleep anymore.
When is your earliest call of the day?
The earliest call of there's some exceptions, but pretty rare. My earliest call of the day usually is 1:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow. So you give yourself the whole morning.
So I have a block of time to what I call my creative time, but it's a lot of content creation, planning, projects I'm working on, long-term strategic things that have long-term impact in my business, content creation for my clients, idea generation, all of those kinds of things.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then I'm doing yoga. I mean, I hit the mat like the first thing. I get up, hit the mat, get some water, hit the mat, do yoga in the morning, really just stretch, open up the body. Oftentimes it's only 15 or 20 minutes. Because if it's longer than that, my mind will make an excuse about it, right? So that's the easiest hack to trick yourself to do things that are good for you physically, especially because your mind will say, I don't have time, or that's too long. Or so I just say 15 minutes, that's it. And sometimes I go longer than that, but you can't really argue that you can't make 15 minutes, you know, you can't find 15 minutes to do something for yourself. So I do yoga first thing. I have a huge breakfast that I make. It takes me like a half hour to make it.
What do you eat for this huge breakfast? Because you're so tiny.
What's my biggest meal of the day? I do the combination of things, but my favorite is this high protein pancake breakfast that I make every morning, almost every morning. I also have a high protein oatmeal, gourmet oatmeal that I make. So I had hired a fitness coach for a short period of time, and she actually shared both of those recipes with me. So I go for it and make a big pancake breakfast. So yeah, I do that with green tea, fresh green tea, and jump into my day pretty slowly. I mean, I say jump, but I allow myself some leisure. Now, I don't have kids. So that's something to keep in mind for those listening. I mean, I don't have children. I have furry companions, animals, but not children.
So you roll out of bed onto your yoga mat. You do at least 15 minutes of yoga. You make a big, healthy, high protein breakfast. And then what do? Do you do any like spiritual practices, or you just...
I didn't mention that. Before I get out of bed, I'm meditating, or I'm flow dreaming, or I'm doing a guided visualization before I even get out of bed. That's okay. Every morning for about, I'd say 10 minutes.
So for 10 minutes you're in, so you must have your phone and your AirPods next to your bed. You throw them in for the first 10 minutes, or how does that work?
No, I mean, okay. So it's funny you say that, because I was keeping my phone outside the room for years. And then recently I brought the phone into the room, and I do airplane mode only. Mm-hmm. So I don't have it on, like the Wi-Fi is off. Everything's off, right, while I'm sleeping. So that does make it easier to not even have to get out of bed. Previously, I was getting out of bed, grabbing my phone, getting back into bed, or sitting on my meditation pillow and meditating, sometimes just up against the wall, on the ground, or in a chair next to my bed, sometimes on the yoga mat. But lately, it's been just right in bed before I even get out of bed. And so I don't even need my phone. Some of the time, because the guided visualizations I'm doing for myself, my own imagination.
So you're not listening to like a guided meditation audio track. You're doing it in your own mind.
Sometimes I am. It varies, right? I mix it up. So sometimes I'm listening to someone else, but what I've found is it's better for me to kind of come up with my own. I mean, after you've listened to so many guided visualizations, I think it's pretty easy to do your own.
That's great. Well, I love your morning practice, and it's obviously working for you because you're thriving. So let's talk about some of the things that women deal with, and a few good men: imposter syndrome, comparison trap cycles, and self-doubt. How do we overcome these negative syndromes that are happening?
Yeah. And this is where Soulfeel comes in again, because when you know what you're here to do, why you're here to do it, when you are certain of that path, that direction, you become hyper-focused, and it begins to eliminate the distractions that come along with people that aren't focused and not sure what they're meant to do, right? The minute you know your Soulfeel, you've got your true north, and it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. You just stay in your own lane. This is my lane. They have their lane. They have their own purpose, and they have their own reason for being here, and they get to do their and their time frame and their timeline, and you have your own. So it definitely keeps you on track from comparing yourself to other people, because you know exactly what you're here to do, and they have their own place. when it comes to self-doubt, it is very easy to get caught up in self-doubt and, you know, wonder if you're good enough to do a lot of things in life. But there are certain things you are literally perfectly designed to do. So when you know those things, it doesn't matter all the other things you can't do. Who cares? You do have a genius, a superpower, many, a few that you can hone in on and focus in on that will completely keep you on track with what you're here to do and eliminate self-doubt. At least it has for me and my clients who are really embodied with it.
So when you stay in your zone of genius and you know what you're good at, which is your soul fuel, you don't worry about the things that you're not good at. What if somebody says, I have self-doubt about every single thing I do, even after you tell them what their soul fuel is with your methods? I'm like, you tell me this, Wendy, but I've never done this before. Maybe I'm transitioning out of corporate. I've never stepped into my power before, and I don't know if I can do it. What do you say to those clients that still doubt themselves?
Even after they get the clarity?
Mm-hmm.
And after they're clear?
Because it's new. It's a new, yeah. A new being.
Yeah. I mean, I always share that you just need to start and do it and get some confidence through the doing. You know, and there's ways to, if it's a business you're starting, you can do a pilot program for free. So you don't have any hangups about charging someone for something you don't feel confident about. You can do a pilot program. And I have a process that I walk people through for that on how to find your pilot clients and what, you know, how to develop that little mini program. And as you go through that process with those clients and you get their feedback, you get better, you get more confident. So things can grow from there. And you get some testimonials that can reinforce your own sense of clarity and confidence about what you're doing. And it builds on itself. There's a momentum that builds there. So just dipping our toe can help a little by little and doing it in a way that you don't have to go from 0 to 60. You know, you don't have to feel 100% confident to start something. Most people don't. And even once you're started, I mean, those doubts don't go away. It's how we're managing our mind in every moment of every day. It's not like fear goes away. It's not like doubt goes away at any level. I have very high levels of confidence, but there's certainly, if I wanted to, I could entertain that part of my mind that has doubts, but I just won't allow it. I won't spend time there. I don't see
the problem. How do you reroute yourself in your own like inner dialogue when you feel the self-doubt creeping in? Like, do you use affirmations? You just focus your energy toward what you're good at. How do you deal with that? Because everybody has self-doubts. So
yeah, it goes back to knowing what my soul feel is and what I'm here to do and what I'm excellent at and knowing what lane I should focus on, like what lane I am in. And that's it.
What is your soul feel?
My soul feel, I mean, there's a long version, there's a short version, and then there's a super short version. So I won't give you the long or the short one, but I'll give you the super short one, which is to facilitate the awakening, healing, and empowerment of humanity.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful soul feel.
Yeah. And that relates to any niche, any, you know, I could go to any industry and still be fulfilling my soul feel. But when I look at the skills I have, like the hard skills, so to speak, and the soft skills I have, then I'm applying my business marketing background, all of that to that. And that perfectly comes together and working with mostly female entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in the making.
Okay. Yeah. So why does aligning your soul fuel, your core values, and your lifestyle desires to your best niche? Why is this the foundation for making your business work?
So what I find is some people know what their why is. They know why they're, but oftentimes it's focused on something that isn't deep enough. Like, well, I want to quit my job. That's why I want to do this. Or I want to make more money. Or I just want to be my own boss. Or I just want to be a business owner. But you need to go many levels deeper in order for this to be sustainable and fulfilling and fueling. So that's where soul fuel comes in. Like soul fuel, like what I just shared with you, is much bigger than just helping people grow their businesses, right? If it was just about helping people grow their businesses, I would have been bored with that a long time ago. But I am facilitating the awakening, healing, and empowerment of humanity through the growth of their business, because that's the fullest expression of themselves when they know their soul fuel, right? So it's connected. So there's that piece, which is the spiritual piece. And then core values is fascinating because so many people don't know their core values. So they will wonder, why is this not working? Why is this job not working? This relationship not working? Why is this niche not working for me? There is a very good reason for it. Like once you know your core values, and I have my clients narrow it down to the top five, which is not easy to do. But when you do it, it becomes so easy to make decisions and understand what you need to do next, because it'll become clear what is not in alignment with your core, why it's not working. And you can't really negotiate your core values, right? You can try, but it doesn't really work. If you look at past relationships, I look at one of my past relationships. I mean, one of my core values is kindness, and that certainly was not one of his. And that was just forever going to be a conflict. That would never work long term. And that, when you look at the root of all of our problems, it came down to a conflict of that value, right?
Yeah.
And see how that work plays out in business. I mean, in jobs, when I was in corporate, it was similar. You know, they said I needed to be more ruthless. I'm like, well, that's kind of conflicting with the kindness and respect value I have. I don't want to be ruthless. I don't feel like I need to be. If I do need to be, I'm out of here. So, you know, this is a way for you to make decisions without apology, without having to explain yourself. Your needs are your needs and your values are your values. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you need to find jobs, situations, people, relationships, businesses that align with that. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. And then lifestyle desires is really about what are your personal priorities right now in your life based on your life stage. So if you have young children, your priorities are going to be one thing. Your lifestyle desires, maybe you want to stay home, you want to spend less time working. And then when they're in high school, maybe it's similarly, like you want to spend more time with your kids when they're teenagers because they're going through struggles. There's different lifestyle desires as you go through life stages that are important to recognize and again, accept and embrace without apology. No need to apologize for those things. But you want to adjust your business or your job accordingly to adapt to those things and to honor them and align them so that you can thrive.
So what are your lifestyle desires right now?
I mean, I've been living my lifestyle desires from like day one of my business.
That's great. For sure.
I mean, ever since I left the corporate life, I mean, that's all about, you know, time freedom and being
that's what you're doing, right? Yeah. Not starting your work day at 1:30 and taking 1 week off and all that great stuff.
Yeah. And travel whenever I want. Travel is very important to me. Spending time in nature is important to me. Spending time with my man is important to me. Nurturing the love that I have with him and with my family and with my friends. It's very important to me. And that's why I recently, just as a very recent example, decided, you know what? I'm not going to work Fridays anymore, because I found that every Friday, Brian and I had something coming up that was important that we wanted to do with family or friends or events or things like that, or travel or road trips, things like that. And I'm like, why am I can be very efficient. I can get as much done, if not more, Monday through Thursday. I mean, I could get it down to a 3-day work week if I really, you know, I'm sure I'm heading there. But I'm just starting this way, you know?
Yeah.
And I just told my clients and they were excited for me. And there was like no issue whatsoever. Because also I'm a business coach. So I'm leading by example. If you get to build your business, you know, around your life, I mean, build your business around your life, not the reverse.
Exactly. I don't like working Fridays either. Fridays are my fun day. Yeah. So I know we've been talking a lot about this, but how do people know which of their passions are actually monetizable or profitable? People have so many passions. Like, what are some of the deciding factors when they're looking at profit and monetization?
Yeah, great question. So you can have a passion. Well, it depends on, we're assuming they want to make money with it, right? So that's by virtue.
Yes.
So you can have a passion that you think you can make great money at. And again, it depends on your financial goals. If you just want to make $5,000 a year knitting quilts, you might be able to do that. If you want to make $50,000 a year knitting quilts, you need to look at what do you have a production line? Do you have a way to mass produce this? How many quilts can you actually knit in what period of time to meet that financial goal? So there's things to look at. And so when I walk my clients through the Passions to Monetize process, and Skills that Fulfill is another one, which follows a similar process, we're looking at what lights you up and where you lose track of time.
Great questions. If you're listening to this, what lights you up and where do you lose track of time?
Yeah. You're losing track of time. You just like don't even notice the time going by.
Beautiful. Love those.
And at the same time, other people say they see the talent in you. They've given you, you've received some kind of external validation that, wow, you're really good at that. The reason you need that is for multiple reasons. One is a lot of the women that I work with, at least, they downplay their talents. They don't understand how strong they are in certain areas, because the thing that you are most naturally gifted at is probably your genius, your superpower. Like the thing that comes so natural to you, you don't even notice. You're like, is that really a big deal? Other people can help you see that. That's number one. Number two is that it eliminates self-deception and delusion. So if we think like, I'm an excellent ballet dancer, but not a single person has ever said we were good at ballet, we might be lying to ourselves to think that we could make a living being a ballet dancer. We need somebody who can identify, okay, that's a talent, sees it in us. And not just one person, but at this point, probably many. So you lose track of time. Other people have said you're really good at it. And you feel like there's something really powerful when you're doing this thing. Mm. Like there's something in it that feels magnetic. You're like drawn and there's a power in it. So there's a fun factor, but there's a power in it. Like there's a depth to it. And so I find that when those three things are at play, you're really close to figuring it out.
Oh, these are really, really good. And I just want to go back to, you are such a kind person. And I'm curious, where did you grow up and get, I know it's your soul fuel also, you're born that way, but you have great values. Are you from Canada? Where did you grow up?
I love Canadians, but no,
you can't be American. I'm just kidding. If you have, if you're so kind, where are you from?
I love Canadians. I know why you said that. That's so funny. I am born and raised in California.
What part?
The Bay Area.
Oh, okay. Which neighborhood? Which suburb?
I had quite a tumultuous childhood. So there was a lot of moving, like every year and a half. So it was a combination of the East Bay, Burlingame, kind of south of San Francisco. And then now I'm in the South Bay, basically. I'm in the Santa Cruz Mountains, or right at the base of the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so do you think having a tumultuous childhood has fueled you to be so successful? Because I see a lot of that on my podcast, and just I love listening to other podcasts. And it seems like some of the people who are the most successful had the hardest beginning.
It's true. It's true, because it does create, I had an incredibly difficult upbringing, and was on my own. It was all of that. And then I was on my own, completely independent from my parents at 16. Wow. And I think that creates a resiliency, a tenacity, a resourcefulness, a confidence, because you're forced to do things on your own that a lot of kids aren't forced to do, not to mention the traumas that occurred and having to get through that on my own, basically without help. It causes you to dig deep within yourself. Because you have to.
So you had to get your own apartment at 16, or did you move in with a friend? Like, what happened?
So my best friend's parents came to me and said, we think you're a great role model for our kids. We heard you don't have a home, so we'd like you to stay with us for the remainder of your junior year in high school. I slept on the floor of my best friend's bedroom for a few months until I completed my junior year of high school. And then my senior year, I moved to Southern California. So I do have a Southern California history. I was there for like 7 or 8 years. And I was with my fiance at the time, his parents. for the rest of my high school. And then I went completely on my own.
Wow. Well, you have definitely shown resilience. Would you be open to saying what was so traumatic about your childhood and how you were able to overcome that? Or, you know, if it's too personal, I understand, but somebody listening might benefit.
Yeah. I mean, there were many, too many to mention, Rebecca. It would be too heavy. I think it would be a lot of triggers for a lot of people.
Okay.
If you can imagine it, pretty much happened. I mean, yeah, it was a lot.
It was
a lot. I will have a book that'll come out someday.
Yeah.
With that, I feel like it would be to share it all would be too much.
Yeah, I understand.
But for, you know, the women out there who've been through, you know, a lot of the, I'm sure that people can relate to a lot of what I've gone through. Unfortunately, it was like multiple situations, multiple people, all the things. I will share one thing which was very significant, and that I think it's why I have such an urgency in my life, which is that I was kidnapped at age 13, right off the street, broad daylight. And that person intended to take my life that day. He was watching me for a couple months and stalking me, and then found me alone and was able to take me. And I did get out of that situation, obviously alive, but that was not his intention. And it was, you know, one of the, obviously a horrific situation and what happened that day. But getting out of that situation and believing totally 100% the whole day that my life would end that day at 13 definitely is the reason that today it is why I am so soul-fueled. It is, I do not take my life for granted. Ever since that day, it was like, oh, my life could end any day. Most people don't get that lesson until they get into a car accident, until they get diagnosed with cancer too soon, or they think it's too, you know, but I got it. I got that lesson at a very early age. Like life, you cannot take it for granted.
Every day is a gift. And that is why you're so passionate about empowering people, because you realize every day here is a gift and we're not promised tomorrow. And you want to affect as many people as you can.
That's
right. Better.
Yeah, that's right.
What a beautiful mission. Well, I know that my listeners are going to want to follow you and stay in contact with you. So how can people stay in touch with you, Wendy?
You can find me at wendycollier.com, C-O-L-L-I-E-R.com. You can go to Instagram, Wendy Collier Worldwide. You can go to soulfueldiscovery.com if you're interested in knowing what your soul fuel is, or soulfuelaccelerator.com if you want to know how to grow a business through soul fuel.
Thank you so much, Wendy, for being a phenomenal guest and for helping people live their life on fire with their soul fueled up and just full of energy. I love your mission. I love your heart. And I can't wait to keep collaborating with you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we appreciate your reviews, your subscriptions, sharing this episode with a friend. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, what an amazing show. I got so much value out of that, and I hope you did too. I would love to help you get unstuck. Which of the 7 key areas of life do you feel blocked in? Maybe you are stuck in your love life and can't manifest your soulmate. Maybe you just can't lose that last 10 pounds. Maybe you are burned out and want to get out of your job and create a 6-figure side hustle. I have great news for you. I am offering 3 complimentary breakthrough calls this week for the women and the men that are ready to get unstuck. This is a free 45-minute coaching call that I am offering to my listeners. Just go to the link in the show notes. And for those of you ready to really have the time of your life and end 2024 on an incredible note, you will want to learn more about the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, October 3rd through 6th in Belize City, Central America. Not only will you learn how to get all seven areas of your life to a level 10 to end the year with momentum, but you will enjoy pampering in a luxury spa with healthy food, yoga, and sound bath. We will be having an incredible time on the beach, in the pool, walking around the beautiful city. It's in a private island, and it's just something that will be the best decision you ever made. I can't wait to spend a weekend with you in Belize City, Central America, on a private island. So if you're looking for more information on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, make sure you go to my link in the show notes. And for everybody else, thank you so much for supporting the show. We love our listeners, your reviews, your subscriptions, sharing this podcast with your friends and family is really getting the word out there that you do not have to go through life burned out. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.